gospel reading for today's message comes from John 15, verses 1 through 8. I am the real vine, and my creator is the farmer. God cuts off every branch of me that doesn't bear grapes, and every branch that is grape-bearing, God prunes back so that it will bear even more. You are already pruned back by the message that I have spoken. Live in me, make your home in me just as I do in you. In the same way that a branch can't bear grapes by itself, but only by being joined to the vine, you can't bear fruit unless you are joined with me. I am the vine. You are the branches. When you joined with me and I with you, the relation intimate and organic, the harvest is sure to be abundant. Separated, you can't produce a thing. Anyone who separates from me is dead wood, gathered up and thrown on the bonfire. But if you make yourselves at home with me and my words, you are at home in me. You can be sure that whatever you ask will be listened to and acted upon. This is how my God shows who God is, when you produce grapes, when you mature as my disciples. This is the good news of the gospel of Jesus the Christ. All right, so let me start out by saying, how many here know what a metaphor is? Anybody? Okay. Somebody want to take a shot? Give us the definition of a metaphor. You're closest to the mic, so say something.
It's a thing. It's one thing that stands for another thing.
Right. It is a example. Amen. It's kind of a story that sets up an example. It is usually, most people use metaphors when they're trying to explain what? A process. How does it work?
Or a concept.
Or a concept to make it more visible. So I want you to know this morning, before we go too far with this, this is a metaphor that either the author decided to put into Jesus' mouth, or again, as we have a history of Jesus telling these great stories, that it's Jesus' metaphor, and it's meant to be taken as that and not literally. Okay, so in other words, Jesus never said he's the only way here, and when he says that apart from you, you can't do it, this is designed for those people, what? That are followers of Jesus. Amen? It's really important that you get that. If you're going to follow Jesus, do as Jesus teaches. And this is a sidebar. Chuck, as you've heard in prayers if you've been hanging on, passed away on Tuesday morning at 7:30. Apparently, he'd had a history of bad arteries, so forth and so on. And so apparently he was in the process of starting a heart attack. And Chuck had a DNR, do not
resuscitate.
He also, even more so than, as he used to put it, he didn't want to be electrocuted when he was dead. And in addition to that, he did not want to be attached to a machine. He didn't want some tube shoved down his throat. And if for those of you out of our church that know Chuck, you know how independent he was, that made perfect sense. All right? So, when it became apparent that they were going to try to do a heart catheterization, the people from the cardiology department come down and say, okay, we have a problem here, Pastor, and you're the medical guy,
power of attorney,
so you're going to have to make a decision. And I said, what's the problem? Well, the problem is that in most heart catheterizations, and I didn't know this, your heart stops, and they have to paddle you back together. So that means any of us here who are reasonably young and healthy, et cetera, if they ever have to do a catheterization, your heart may stop. They may have to help you breathe for a moment to get you through that process. Doctors looked at me and said, this is kind of a gray area. We're pretty sure, based on his arteries, that his heart's going to stop. And according to this, And I wanted to know, well, okay, what's our options? Well, it was to put them on some antibiotics and heparin. So that's the way we went. The reason I'm telling you that story is this is exactly what this is about. Because what the doctor said to me is, Pastor, if we go into the cath lab, we're all in. We can't just start and then stop. And that's what Jesus is trying to tell you all and me in our relationship with God and in the way that we handle things. You're either all in or you're not there at all. I hope that helps with the setup, because number one, abiding in love means what? You're connected. You're there. It is part of the process. It's what you do on a daily basis. So this has got nothing to do with being saved. This has got nothing to do with whether Christianity is the greatest thing since sliced bread. This is Jesus trying to say, if you want to experience unconditional love and you want to have my peace, then do what I teach you. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and the Creator is the vine grower. Abide in me as I abide in you. Now, you know, even with that setup, we're living in a world where we feel really fragmented, don't we? We feel really torn apart. Part of our prayer request today was about that. And this message, even though I don't necessarily like the Gospel of John, is a beacon of hope. It reminds us that we're not alone, that we are inherently connected to God. Right at the hip, baby. Right there. We are connected. That interconnectedness calls us to look beyond our individual selves and to perceive that God spark within each person that we know as well as ourselves. And to recognize that our well-being is linked with the well-being of the global world.
And that we need to recognize that Jesus is saying that he's not the only way.
Amen. But what this also means is, if you haven't been thinking about what's going on over in the Ukraine and not praying about it, you ought to be. If you're not thinking about what's going on over in Gaza and you find yourselves taking sides, you ought not to be. If you find yourself finding reasons to hate China, you ought not to be. Because despite what the world news would have you to think, we are all connected. We do not survive without one another. So what does it mean then to abide in love? It means to remain in a steadfast relationship with God, recognizing that the relationship is the foundation which our lives and actions are built. This abiding is not passive. It is an active choice, folks. It is an intentional lifestyle. Amen. To remain open to God's presence, allowing ourselves to be guided, shaped, and loved unconditionally by God. To abide in love mandates that we extend that same unconditional love not only to ourselves, but to others, which is why we got to consider all this world stuff. I know sometimes people say, there's nothing we could do about it. Yeah, there is. You can pray about it. And the way that you treat other people has a ripple effect. Last night, we had Liz at the emergency pet place. And these a gay couple come in. Well, yeah, they were. Anyway, I just thought it was kind of cute because they had a Siberian Husky and a German Shepherd. Turned out they had found those dogs in their neighborhood and was wondering if they were chipped. And so they drove all the way from their house at 11 o'clock last night to that emergency place to find out if they were chipped. And guess what? They were. Guess what? Those dogs were about 3 blocks from home. And when they got a hold of the owners were in a grand mal panic as to where their dogs had been. That, my friends, tells us we are all interconnected. They could have just as easily watched those dogs run. Jesus' figure of speech about the vine and the branches teaches us a mutual reliance and the beauty of being part of a community. That is why we invite you to come to church every Sunday. I know it's nice at home, it's convenient at home, but here's where the action's at, folks. Seriously, this is where you have fellowship. This is where friendships grow. This is where you know that you are not alone. So think about that as you're sitting on the side of the bed or you're trying to figure out, why should I be in church? You should be in church not because it saves you, but because it enables you to experience what it is to be loved by God.
And we can't have your experience if you're not sharing.
Thank you, Billy. Billy's in a preachy mood this morning. If we remain as part of the vine, how do we do that? How do we do that? It's when we are willing to obey the commands that Jesus has given us. And by the way, Bill, since you're involved in this, what's the one command that Jesus gave us? Bingo. Love each other as I have loved you. That's the one and only command that Jesus ever gave. It doesn't say anything about judging people. It doesn't say anything about worrying about people's mistakes. It just says, love them. You remain on the vine when you're willing to love each other as well as to love God. When you are willing, are you ready for it, to forgive each other and trust God to forgive us? When you are willing to be seen with the rest of the branches. Amen. In other words, don't try to set yourself out to the side. We remain a part of the vine and produce fruit when we commune with God. When we are willing to pray to God and listen for the answers. When we are willing to worship God, even if it takes us away from our Sunday dinner or the latest baseball game, maybe it's a college football game, whatever it is, for that moment, we are with God. Communion with God and God's church is the connection to the vine which feeds us. And the communion with God involves our heart and our will, the heart that loves all things that God has made and that will give God praise, the heart that aches for all that is bad in the world, and the will that tells us the good news of Christ's love. And by the way, that is the good news, folks, that you are wonderfully and uniquely made in the image of God. Nothing else matters except that you know that, claim that, and live that. In a world that is yearning for connection and healing, this morning, may we be inspired by Jesus' words to embody that divine connection. May we choose every day to abide in the love, to live out our lives as testimony to the unbreakable bond that we share with God and with each other. To abide in love is to discover the essence of living. Have you ever wanted to know why you live this life? It is to love and to share that love, to be interconnected with the strands of the music that God sends to your heart, woven into an incredible tapestry of creation. Brothers and sisters, abide, abide, abide. God bless you.